Outdoor Edge introduces the all-new Razor Guide Pack. Coming in at 12 ounces and in a premium wax canvas roll pack for compact storage and travel, the Razor Guide Pack is 7 blades in total, including a 5-inch replaceable blade folding knife, a 3-inch replaceable blade caping knife, and the flip and zip saw for wood or bone. Whether you're hunting the back 40 or chasing game deep in the backcountry, the Razor Guide Pack has it all. For more information, visit OutdoorEdge.com.
All right, guys, welcome to today's show. And joining me on the show today, I've got several guys from Infinite Outdoors. Now, we actually were out in Colorado doing a waterfowl hunt that we booked through their app. And this app, I'm telling you right now, it is like the ultimate tool for true nomadic outdoorsmen and women. If you want to hunt, or if you're just looking at getting into hunting in a different state or traveling to do it for the first time, this app pairs you with landowners that have spots to antelope or elk hunt or waterfowl hunt like we did in today's case. And so I would be taking notes if I was you. Definitely listen through this whole thing, figure out exactly how this app can help you out, and you get to hear some hunting stories about how the guys are doing so far and how we did on today's hunt. So let's jump in.
Like, he was doing things that were just badass.
That was one of the coolest moments of my life.
I was really scared, but knowing that Dan had the gun, I did have the rifle, like, we would be okay.
All right, guys, welcome to today's show. And on the show with me, this is the first tailgate podcast I've done, by the way, so I'm pretty pumped about it.
But we're honored.
Yeah. I've got a bunch of guys from Infinite Outdoors here. We came out to a hunting property in Colorado on the Front Range, and it's a pretty sweet setup. So we're going to dive into how that all works out. But before we do, let's go around and introduce ourselves, maybe a little bit of hunting history or how you're connected with this whole group.
Yeah. So my name's Sam Seaton. I'm one of the co-founders and CEO of Infinite Outdoors. Been hunting my whole life, grew up on a ranch in central Colorado, and kind of how we got into the outdoors and all the hunting and fishing, and then you know, connect with the rest of the crew starting in at Colorado School of Mines in college.
Yeah, I'm Michael Maroney, from Colorado. Kind of been hunting here in Kansas my whole life. I'm a marketing director and one of our biologists on staff. Started with these guys 6 months ago or so. Kind of came from a background in restoration and wanted to do something a little different. So it's got a pretty cool opportunity here, and yeah, it's been great.
Sweet.
Yeah, and I'm David Ryan. I'm the CTO and co-founder. Got started when Sam approached me with the idea. It's pretty sweet. Got to do software engineering and apply it to something pretty cool that I've always loved doing. So it's been good.
Yeah, that's sweet. I mean, you guys definitely found a market here. Sam, you and I were talking about it earlier, how it all came about. But basically, why don't you give a quick rundown of what Infinite Outdoors is, the services it offers, and kind of who can all benefit from this?
Yeah. well, yeah, I'll start with just kind of how the initial idea came, and then I'll build into that. But so background to me, like I said, I grew up on a ranch in central Colorado, hunting and fishing. But throughout that time, we ended up, you know, leasing out to different outfitters, different groups like that. And I always hated that, because we obviously wanted to make some income as a landowner, but as a sportsman too. I'm like, well, this is kind of dumb. We just sold away all of our rights to our own property. So that's kind of where the initial frustration started. Did that for a year, had a really bad experience. I kept growing as an outdoorsman, got into college at a Colorado School of Mines with David, continued to hunt. But then at that time, had lots of buddies out in eastern Colorado that kind of were having the same sort of issues. They personally didn't hunt too much. Some of them did, some didn't. Like, you know, once or twice a year, they still want to be able to go out and use their land, but they're leasing out to these outfitters. They weren't you know, taking into any sort of conservation approaches, just blowing out the land. They're losing all of their control of their property. So I was like, hey guys, just continue to let me keep hunting like you already are. I'll throw together some, you know, kind of like a little hunting club almost with people that I trust, and I'll vet some people. We'll let them do some day hunts. You keep full control when you want to hunt, let me know. I'll make sure nobody's out there. And And I guess they just weren't used to people really taking care of them, so they referred to a few of their buddies and a few more of their buddies, and it kept growing to the point where I was like, well, shoot, there's actually something here. We need to do this in more than just pheasant hunting on the Eastern Plains, and there's something to be said about this. People want this daily access to private land for do-it-yourself opportunities, and the landowners, they want to be able to control their, you know, still make money, but maintain control of their land. And that's when we approached David and Ryan, another one of our developers, and like let's make this streamlined. Let's get this tech backed and get this big. And so essentially what our platform is it allows hunters and fishermen to day lease or short-term lease properties directly from the landowners for everything from small game to elk and deer and everything you can imagine. So gives them all the control, gets them better prices on it, and then still takes care of the landowners and allows them to make larger margins, and it's all easily managed from a mobile app that we've developed.
Man, that's so sweet, because, I mean, I know in looking at hunting out west, especially coming from the Midwest or even people from the East, it can be pretty intimidating. Like, man, we don't know where the animals are. And then trying to get access, like you can't just come out here for 2 weeks and knock on doors and try to find somewhere to hunt. And then the alternative is going with a guide, and they charge insane prices. And so to eliminate that, especially for people who, like me, like to do the DIY stuff, you know, you don't want somebody doing the entire hunt for you and you just show up and pull the trigger. That's just not nearly as fun,
right,
for me. There's definitely the market for it, but this eliminates a lot of those problems that, you know, a lot of people have frustrations with.
Yeah. So, gets you same quality of land as you would be on if you're outfitted, only you don't need someone holding your hand. And
yeah,
there's a lot to be said about that.
Yeah, that's really sweet. And then you said you're one of the biologists.
Yeah.
And so what does that look like? I mean, when you guys go to find properties, are you coming out and surveying and making sure that it's actually a place that people are going to want to come and hunt?
Yeah, we can do that kind of two ways. One of those is like a pre-consultation kind of thing. So we go out, a landowner's interested, we can go out, take a look at their property, see what it would do just as is, you know, how many hunts we could sell, what type of hunts we can sell, things like that, and kind of how they could profit on it. And then also what they can do, you know, little things here and there, whether it's clearing brush, food plots, if they wanted to do some sort of stream improvements, things like that for fishing properties, or digging ponds, things like that. So we can take it a step further and kind of do some sort of consultation of how they can improve it. You know, if there's right now they're selling 2 deer hunts a year, they put a food plot in here, do this, we can sell maybe 4 or 5 in the coming years. And also just it allows us to manage the property so they're not getting overhunted, they're not doing things like that, limiting days, so that each person that goes out, each group has a good, successful hunt, hopefully, or at least not overcrowded.
Yeah.
So overhunted at least.
Yeah, that's cool. And then as a developer, I mean, that's got to be a pretty big undertaking. Obviously, if you're writing code and stuff already, you understand that. But to have a streamlined platform where people can, at the click of a button, reserve a spot. And then, like this morning, I got to experience it firsthand, you know, with the invite. I can click on Google Maps or Apple Maps, and it gives me the exact coordinates to where I go. And then from there, in the description from the landowner, it actually said, hey, a half mile up the road, there's a gate, you turn left, you punch this code in, you go through the gate, and then it's actually like a dotted line that takes you right to the parking lot. There's signs and everything. And so what did that look like trying to develop all of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for us, it's just all about trying to design like as frictionless, you know, process as possible. So all of it just like focused on the hunting and fishing, making everything else as easy as possible. So the booking and the invites, you know, you go in, you one time make a membership, you fill out the application and go through all that. And then from there, you just, you know, you're 2 clicks away from hunting each time. And so that's what we focus on is, you know, user experience and on both sides, both with the hunters and the anglers, and just making it as easy as possible. And then with the landowners, just making that a very reliable and, you know, safe experience for them. So,
yeah, that's sweet. So you started out small, you saw a need, you saw a problem, and you figured out how to fix it. What has it grown to now? I mean, how many different properties and how much acreage do people have access to through the app?
Yeah, it's been growing like crazy. There's been great reception. So we only launched a little over 2 years ago, and we already have almost 500,000 acres of land on there, and you know, getting closer and closer to 200 separate properties already. And this is just 2 years into it, and thousands of users and app downloads. So it's really been pretty awesome, and we've finally been able to expand to other states. We're already getting into, I think we're in, what, 6 states now?
Yeah.
Is that? And planning to go nationwide within the next few years. So it's been great. So we love that people like what we're doing. And I think the biggest key to our success is we started with honest intentions. It's all out of an actual issue, wanting to help, being, you know, some of the few people. Like, David's family has a ranch too. Like, having, like, you're not going to find many developers that grew up hunting on their own ranch. And then myself growing up on a ranch, both being, you know, I mean, nerds, for lack of better term, that could actually tie it all together. So it just was lucky. Created something that truly was solving a need that was there. It wasn't like we're just sitting around one day like, hey, I know how we could make a ton of money, because unfortunately, that's not how this works. The landowners do well, and it gives a good break for the hunters. And then at the end of the day, if everything works out great, it finally gets passed on to us.
Yeah, that's cool. And I mean, hearing, because I was invited out here with you guys, the booking process I wasn't a huge part of, but Alec, one of the team members, he was like, hey, just a heads up, because of the dates that you're coming out, we can't actually hunt in Wyoming. We'll do it in Colorado. I was like, hey, if we need to reschedule, we can. He's like, honestly, it's 2 clicks and we're in Colorado hunting. And I was like, no way, that's awesome. Yeah. And so to see that, I mean, even if plans change, if you have to cancel out on something and then book something new, the fact that it's that easy for people, especially out of state, you know, things come up, weather changes, whatever might come up, you can actually just hop on and do it again. As far as like you guys hunting, how often do you guys come out and do these hunts, and what kind of species have you hunted for?
Man, we get out, well, this time of year, we're pretty busy with waterfowl. You know, a lot of our properties are getting hunted, which is good. So, I think the big game, it was kind of hard to find somebody in September, because we were all out doing different things, it seems like. So we're all definitely avid hunters. I know Sam killed two really nice bulls, and I archery hunted a bunch. David, you're going, what, a couple weeks or something?
Yeah, headed out a week of Thanksgiving. We've got an alfalfa farm out in Oregon, so I'm go out there and hopefully fill the freezer. But
yeah, it's definitely a balancing act, because this is our busy time of year, and we all work insane hours, but we're all still passionate about it. The reason why we can provide a good service is because we walk the walk too. Like, we love this and understand hunting and fishing. So it's always interesting who's covering who and getting our vacation coverage, because, you know, at any given time, someone's doing something extravagant. And then, you know, got another couple of our team members are heading out right after this to go to Oklahoma for a deer hunt an Infinite Outdoors property. So it's always just trying to go. And I mean, that's the beauty too of the new world, is we can get a lot done from a computer. I mean, half our app was built from inside David's van as he's driving around the country when we convinced him, like, hey, you want to make $100,000 less and build out this whole app? He's like, yeah, I guess I'll live in my van for a year. So it's a balancing act, but that ability to be remote and stuff helps us run this company well, still enjoy our passions and get out in the field a lot.
So it sounds like you guys need to find a whole crew of team members that are okay with hunting but don't hunt themselves. So then you can just walk away, check out the entire fall, and then come back to a flowing business.
Yeah. Right. It's like being a hunting or fishing guide, and you're like, wait, I don't get to do that for myself anymore. But we do a pretty good job. I think you hunt a little closer to home, maybe not, you know, as far away as you used to, but that's what's nice. And we have, you know, luckily we found the ability, and we found this pretty sweet app that David built that we can jump on and find somewhere to hunt if we have to. But definitely all get out there quite a bit.
That's cool. What do you guys have, like, a criteria as far as like the size of property? Does it have to be 40 acres or more? Or, like, as far as landowners go, if somebody wanted to hop on the app or become a part of it and start leasing out their property, what does that look like?
Yeah, so there is, like, some criteria. It's so diverse, since we cater to small game hunting, fishing, big game hunting. So most properties have something that they're good at. We won't let a landowner list something if it's not quality. Like, you know, like the duck property we just did, we're not going to let that go up as an elk property, you know, or as or trout fishing when it's down in the lowland. There's nothing there. So that's why we don't just let landowners – that's why we're not as willy-nilly as, say, something like – Airbnb or another one like that, there's a little more of a hands-on approach. They have to reach out to us for a consultation request, and that's when they one of the team members will take it, and then one of the biologists like Michael will then go and actually determine one if that property has a game that's viable, and then if it meets our quality criteria, and then it goes to the next steps and determine there. So there's no like set minimum acreage. It just needs to be something capable of producing quality experience for the hunter or fisherman.
Yeah. That's smart, because obviously if people are coming out here and they're like, man, I took 2 weeks off of work to come elk hunt, and then they show up and it's like a swampland with no elk, that would suck.
Yeah. It's also nice too to be able to like have that conservation aspect, and we can look at a property and somebody's like, you know, I think I could sell 10 deer hunts, and we're like, well, you could, but there's only going to be 3 successful deer hunters, you know, and be like, listen, we can, the more quality deer that you take off a property, the better, you know, the better quality the hunt is, and you get a better repertoire with our customers and things like that. So then, you know, that builds on year after year, and we can get, you know, build that rapport. So that's also really nice. And, you know, landowners like the fact that they can come out and they can look at the calendar. If they got family coming out to hunt, say third season rifle in Colorado, they can block that all off. Their family can go hunt. It's not like there's no issue to us, you know, so we won't sell a hunt that week, and they can do it at the beginning of the year or whatever, and then we'll carry on after that. So
as long as they're staying within the harvest quotas that Michael helps send. So we do it a little backwards in most places. They can do whatever they want with the land. We just might say the most you can have is X number of hunters. Those can be them, their family, whatever, or sold hunts, but we just need to make sure that it's that quality stand there, and that's the only restriction. Outside of that, it's still their land. There's no lease between them and us. It's between them and the user, and we're just here to make sure everything's quality and provide the best interaction for both.
Nice, yeah. So you just make that connection between the two, and then they have full control over it at that point.
Yeah. And like our waterfowl properties, most of them we only hunt 3 days a week just to let them rest, so that, like I said earlier, everybody that, you know, when you come out, it's not like it's been hunted the last 5 days and there's no birds around, you know, kind of helps keep that quality up. So,
yeah. Is there on the back end of a hunt, say I were to come out and hunt, do I go and leave a review, or I can say like, hey, I had a successful hunt, put a rating on it so that people, when they go to book a hunt, they can see actually how many people are successful, the types of animals they're seeing, things like that.
Yeah. So yes and no. So there is, you'll get an email here in the next couple days to review your hunt. It states everything from your experience with the mobile app to lets you raise any concerns for our biologists, and then just your overall satisfaction and whatnot. So that comes every single time. We use that internally. We pass that on to the landowners. We help make our management objectives there. And then if people reach out to our team, then we provide what's going good. We don't have open reviews for everybody, just because I'm sure you know this as an outdoorsman. If you have a really good experience, you're not going to immediately go on a platform and be like, oh, this is awesome, 5 stars.
You're telling everyone where you want to come back and
Right, exactly.
You're more likely to just be like, 1 star, 1 star, 1 star, just sandbag it, and then you just book it up every single time for yourself. So that's why we have both. We still gather that information. We incentivize people by giving them a discount on their next reservation if they leave pictures, so that we can use that for marketing, show that it was good, but that's why we kind of have that tiered, so we can actually figure out how good it is, address the real problems, and don't let outdoorsmen sandbag it for each other. So.
It's really funny, because being out here, like in the Midwest, I don't know if it's just people aren't as protective of the properties, but it's like, oh, dude, where'd you kill that? Oh, I killed it in this county on this property off County Road here. And out here, it's just like, oh, man, what unit do you hunt? Oh, we've been hunting this unit for 16 years. It really sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, oh, okay. So that makes perfect sense that, you know, you don't want those people. And then I'm sure on the flip side, you probably get people who come out and they might be great hunters, but it's bad weather conditions. And all of a sudden, they leave a bad review about it, even though It's a great spot to hunt, but they just might suck at hunting. Like today, I was like, I bet we would have killed a lot more birds had I been a decent caller. I'm like wailing on the call, and birds are like, hell no, I'm not dropping in there.
Yeah, it is very dependent, and so it's kind of hard. But it's also really good information for us on the back end. You know, we get people that are new to the app or new to our platform, and they're like, hey, I don't know, where should I go? And we can look and see, you know, what has been the most successful. If we, you know, because we want everyone to have a good experience, and all of our properties are great, but it's also nice to see where, like for waterfowl, where the birds are moving, we can send them in the right direction and see what's where they should go. So
do you guys offer like an elite membership if I wanted to find out which properties they did kill big bulls and bucks on, and then I can just pay you guys a little bit and start booking those properties only?
We haven't yet. Maybe we should. We've been fair to everybody at this point, but maybe we should turn it out to the highest bidder.
Yeah, maybe I need to get in tight with the developer. Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, slip me some of this.
He's got the inside scoop for you.
Yeah, that's cool. What states are you guys trying to reach out to next or branch out to?
So we want to saturate more of Nebraska. Our properties in Oklahoma have already had great success, so I think we want to continue kind of in there, probably start going into Texas and then Idaho and Utah. That's probably our next 6-month focus. I would plan on people seeing a lot of new properties popping up in those areas, and then we'll just keep branching out from there.
Yeah, we always joke that we started in the two hardest states, Colorado and Wyoming, in terms of big game anyways, because, you know, the draw is a little bit harder here and everything like that. So a lot of interest, but not always easy to get a tag. So I think that'll be – it's always nice to go to these other states where it's, I guess, less people hunting and a few more animals. So
do you see a lot of well, actually, here's a good question, because Colorado, you know, there's the public and then private land tags that you get. How does that work managing that with landowners? I mean, because you can't just get an over-the-counter tag and go hunt a private unit, can you? Or a private land chunk in a public unit?
You can. So the unit-wide ones are valid everywhere. Okay. Now, there's the other classification is there's private land only, and those aren't good on public.
Okay.
So anybody that drew in the regular draw on a unit-wide tag, they're able to hunt any of these private properties as long as it's in the right unit.
Okay.
Now, Colorado is unique in that it has landowner vouchers. So the landowners can put in and apply, and they get 10% of the overall state's allocation for them to then sell to other individuals. So we do have our director of operations, Sam Bruner. He's listed as what's called the designated land manager for a bunch of our properties as well, so that he can help fill out their landowner applications and get these people tags if they can't draw. But that's not our main focus. That's more of a service after the fact. Like you still pay for your access, and then if you need a landowner voucher, that has to directly be done with the landowner. It's not something that we ever take a cut on or anything there, but it's another way to get a tag without having to go through the traditional draw.
Nice. Man, this just, I mean, you guys have been doing this for a while, but as you talk, I'm like, they really covered everything. Like, this is a sweet, sweet system. What kind of success have you guys seen, or like maybe an awesome success story of either you using it and going out and shooting something, or hearing about it secondhand after a hunt?
Yeah, I mean, shoot, just countless ones. It's always fun in our weekly operations meeting when we see all the reviews come through and we look at them. We can see all the people that are super pumped up and they got like a, you know, 6-man limited ducks or whatever. They just got their first antelope. So countless of those. And then from a personal perspective, I use it a lot. We haven't really touched on this yet, but we also have all the public land data for the country is also included in your app. That's just the background. You can put on that filter, you know, your trail system. And we have 3D maps, and our imagery is far better than most of the other mapping apps. So this year I got two really nice bulls and a really nice buck. And they were actually all on private or on public. And that was just from using our app and going in 3D mode, finding these honey holes. And I work a ton, so I only took 4 days off to get those three animals all in public, and that was just from using our app, getting really good e-scouting. That resulted in a you know, a 170 buck, a 307-inch bull, and then a 357-inch bull, all on just from learning how to e-scout and getting that extra dimension of really, really quality imagery that we have that others don't.
Yeah.
That allowed me to pick the right spots.
Dang. That.
Yeah.
That's a season, man. That is a season.
Yeah. His taxidermy bill is pretty high this year, I think.
Yeah, I bet it is.
You have to do a roof expansion and everything.
Dang, man. That sounds sweet. Well, and then in hearing that, like just the e-scouting side of it, I feel like it'd be a sweet app. Even if you weren't hunting someone's property, if you could just gain access to a chunk of public land by, you know, like yeah. you lease out their land and then you walk through it and you get to a better spot on lease the private land to get to a better spot on public. I'm like, my wheels are just turning. How do I use this?
Yeah, and actually, like a lot of our big game properties, you know, they're a big chunk of ground. We have anything from, you know, whatever it be 500 acres to, you know, 10,000 acres, but some of them will have, you know, say 1,500 acres of private, and then you got a bunch of landlocked BLM or landlocked Forest Service that you can get to. So it's, you know, it's really a lot bigger than that, but they're paying a lot smaller fee to get into that access for the whole thing. So it works that way too. And the app, which is kind of David's baby there, is pretty sweet for finding those access points as well. So
yeah, the mapping software, like you were talking about, that's, I mean, the map is a good map. I was expecting like this crappy Google Earth or like yeah. deal, but I mean, it really put me right where I needed to be. And, you know, coming from out of state, I pulled into Colorado yesterday and I'm like, shoot, man, I'm laying in bed at like 11:30 buying my tags. Yeah. I'm doing that. I'm looking at where it is and I'm like, it's GPS coordinates. Like, it's not an address, but it put me right at the front where I needed to be. So, I mean, yeah. The map side of it, you knocked it out of the park with that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, when we started, it started mostly as upland hunting. So, you know, we wanted to be able to provide value year-round. So with the e-scouting, you know, even if, you know, it's in the spring and you're on a spring bear hunt, something like that, you know, even if we're not offering that at the current time, you can still get value out of your membership using those tools and using the mapping features. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of fun building and just a lot of fun getting feedback from our users, you know, using it that way. So.
Dang. Wow. I'm pumped. I'm going to be talking to all my buddies about this when I go back because yeah. I've always been that guy. You know, I go door to door knocking on. And okay. So I've talked about this on the podcast before, but if you guys don't know, you need to add a feature where you can like pay hot chicks to come with you to get access to places. Cause that's what I've done. My wife came with me and she knocked on two doors and I've been very unsuccessful in getting permission to hunt on properties.
Yeah.
And one day I was like, hey, do you want to come hunting? We were going rabbit hunting. And so I'm like, that seems like a fairly easy thing to get access to. And so we go to two different houses. My wife is all dolled up. She's got her camo and her face paint that she doesn't need for rabbit hunting. And the first house, they're like, oh, come on in. Sit down. You want a cup of coffee?
Yeah.
By the end of it, I wanted one day of permission for rabbit hunting. They were like, whatever you want to come back and hunt. We got geese on the pond down here. There's coyotes. There's deer. Anytime, you just stop by and let us know. Second house, the exact same thing. I'm like, I'm going to offer that as a service.
Right?
And I'll just keep that running in states that you guys aren't operating in yet. And then as you guys show up, you can take over.
Now the hood rat version of that is – my fiance is probably going to kill me for saying this, but what we used to do in college to get turkey hunting spots in Nebraska is that was when Tinder just really became a thing. So we would just go through 2 days before we'd get there early. We'd be doing our schoolwork, finishing up in our car, and we would just be swiping right on every single person we could find and just looking for the farm and pictures. And we're like, we'll gladly take her out for a good dinner. Like that's well worth it. If it, you know, if we can get on a little turkey hunt in the next day, and then it's good out, it's like, ah, you know, I'd love to prolong this, but you know, we got to go hunt your dad's land in the morning, and
maybe we need a partnership with Farmers Only or something.
Yeah, Farmers Only. Oh, that'd be perfect.
A little tab in the bottom, you can swipe.
Dude, I love that. My buddy Hunter, he's got a TikTok account that's doing pretty well, and I saw a video that he posted the other day. He's like, guys, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm slammed. I started catfishing dudes with hunting property as a chick, and I keep telling them, like, oh, hey, you should come hunt my property. So now I've got five dudes all meeting together at this one property, and I'm going to go hunt their property because I know they're not going to be out there.
That's
I'm
a great idea.
Yeah.
Redneck engineering at its finest.
It really
right
is.
There.
Yeah.
I don't know
using
how illegal
all of our
that
resources.
Is.
That's right.
I mean, you can catfish people, right?
I
mean,
think it's
I don't know if there's a law against it.
It's frowned upon. Yeah. It's more of a guideline than a rule.
But hey, if you get a big buck out of it, who cares?
Right?
Yeah, they're never going to know.
Man.
Just blur out the back.
You didn't think you were going to get a lot of new business ideas.
Yeah, right?
Inviting me out to hunt.
That was great.
I don't know what the integration is going to look like on the app, but that, you know.
Yeah, we'll get right on there. Yeah.
Move that to the top of the priority list. I guess.
Then you branch out into only farmers. Yeah. I mean, it's just going to go wild.
Yeah, we're good.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Well, the hunt out here today was fun. We had the worst weather conditions, just bluebird skies. But who saw the deer bust through the fence?
Oh, yeah. We were walking in. I turned around, and it freaking ripped right through. We probably should call the landowner and tell him that his fence is busted.
Yeah.
The little whitetail buck was pretty fired up, I guess.
Just running. I mean, the rut's about to kick off. I don't know what time the rut hits here for whitetail. I know in the Midwest, like late October, early November is killer.
Yeah, it's about the same here. You know, it's the mule deer are typically a little later, but those whitetail, you start to see them getting a little fired up right about now.
Yeah.
So,
what are you guys hunting after this? I mean, you guys are from all over the place. You're from Wyoming, right?
That's where I live now.
Okay.
Yeah, I grew up in Colorado, but I moved up there a couple years ago. And that's actually where our company is now based out of, is Casper, Wyoming.
Yep.
I've pretty much tagged out on everything, except I still have an antelope tag. So I'll shoot that. I'll go try to get mine this weekend if I can talk the lady into letting me add more meat to the freezer.
You're gonna need a new freezer.
Yeah, I'll need freezer number four.
Yeah.
How does that feel, tagging out and knowing that you don't have a ton of like big game tags left? Because that's always bittersweet for me. I shot a buck in Missouri. Well, I can only shoot one during early archery, and then I can't shoot a second one until rifle season.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always like, yes, I got one, but then I'm like, oh crap, like I can't hunt now for a month.
Right. No, it's definitely depressing, but I always have to remind myself each year I never actually have enough time to hunt as much as I want. So I really only have like one or two days. So if I didn't do it, then I just would probably end up not even feeling.
Oh, yeah.
So I just have to rewind and be like, no, you really didn't have time anyways to keep hunting. Like, just be happy. And
and everybody here probably would have punched you if you said you were unhappy with filling all those tags.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all
yeah,
just like, yeah, man, I yeah. would take any one of those.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I was pretty thrilled with it. But
yeah.
Well, actually, I take that back. I also have a Nebraska deer hunt in December.
Oh, yeah, you're going out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I got a couple deer hunts left. I got a late season cow tag, but again, I don't have any room in the freezer, so.
Oh, and I have a cow tag too.
I don't know if that one will be. I won't put much of an effort into that one, I don't think so. Otherwise, I'll be like him, be calling him. We'll be split, going in double on a freezer.
Man, so. The fact that you guys are talking about freezer space, we're in that motorhome full time now, and I mean, we've got like a 1 square foot or 1 cubic foot freezer, and so now when I shoot stuff, I have to bring it back to Missouri, dump it off in my chest freezer, and then just load up whatever I can eat for like the week or whatever.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing though.
No, it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
What about you?
Come back up here, man. We're about to dig a pit just in that field there. Back here for goose season when that opens up, and I'll get back in these blinds, you know, get some revenge when we get a little better weather.
Yeah, for real. We had a couple of good volleys. We dropped one early. I mean, we were watching birds, and with the clear skies, they were just flying so high today.
Way up there.
And then out of nowhere, this green winged teal just bombs in our face. It happened so fast that we didn't even pull our guns up. I mean, we just saw it in the decoys and waited for it to kick up and blasted it. But When does goose really open up? Because I feel like it's kind of late right now. Normally, when I'm out here this time of year, I see geese everywhere.
Right, yeah. It's soon,
I think it's the 31st, right?
Yeah.
It's October 31st,
right.
So a week from today, yesterday.
Getting the pit dug next week and
it'll be,
get the lids in there.
Yeah.
This spot kills.
Yeah.
It should be really good.
Yeah. Dude, pit hunting out here is insane.
Yeah.
And that's, again, like, I don't want to give too much away, but the Front Range of Colorado, holy cow.
Yeah, and especially if you can find
the waterfowl mecca here.
Yeah, if you can find a place that there's just not a lot of, you know, you can't just ask anybody to go have them dig a pit in their field. So It's definitely an advantage.
Oh, yeah. I always hesitate to say how good a place is. I mean, back to the app and talking about that, because I'm like, they're going to dig a pit for the blind and one for me if I tell everybody how yeah, good the goose hunting is out here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's sweet. Yeah, I'm heading out 2 days. I'm heading up in elk hunting, and I'm so pumped.
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready to roll. We always call each other, and we're like, hey, guys, no more Mondays. No more Mondays. We're almost there.
Yeah.
And so we'll be rolling out with a good group of guys. We've got guys coming from Iowa and Nebraska and me from Missouri. I mean, we go out and do it right.
Yeah.
And most guys are just like, dude, if we don't shoot anything and we just hang out and drink without anybody else around, yeah. We're all about it.
I mean, that's a rifle hunt right there, right? I mean, well, an elk hunt up there. You guys got good snow, too. It should be good.
Yeah.
They got almost a foot of snow up there, so.
Dang. Yeah, I'm excited for that. It's going to be a killer year. I mean, those guys saw like 1,500 elk last year. They walked away with multiple bulls, multiple cows, and they said there's a big one that if he survives,
yeah,
he's going to be 400 inches this year. And so,
wow,
that's who I've got my eyes set, yeah. Their sights set on.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
We always joke, me and my buddy Sean, it's like, you better be faster than me, man, because yeah. I'm not waiting. It doesn't matter whose turn it is. Like,
yep. Yeah, you see that first person pull the trigger.
Yeah, for real.
And then you need a buddy on backup, too. You know?
Yeah. Well, so the last bull that I shot, it was kind of that situation where I thought I was the last, or like, I didn't think I was going to get to shoot because I had shot one recently. You dropped to the bottom of the totem pole. And so I ranged it, told my buddy, and he shot. And we were watching, like, trying to see impact. And then the other guy shot, and they're like, it's your turn. And I was like, what are you talking about? It's my turn. And I was like, I just shot one last year. And they're like, we both shot. It's your turn. Well, I ended up shooting, and then the other guy shot. And, I mean, it was kind of a shit show. But we thought he killed it because when he shot his second shot, it dropped.
Yeah.
And we go down there. He takes pictures with it. And, I mean, everyone's celebrating, like, high-fiving. We go to quarter it, and we start, like, just peeling away the cape, and my knife just clinks on something metal, and I'm like, oh, hey, check this out. I found the bullet. Well, as soon as I saw it, I was like, I don't know how to tell you this, but this isn't your bull. And he was shooting a .338 Lapua. Yeah. The other guy was shooting a .300 Win Mag. I was shooting a .65 Creedmoor.
Yeah.
And it was like the Cinderella deal, right? They, yeah. Everyone pulls out their casings and we yeah. slide them in, and it was just a perfect match for mine. And so then where I'm like trying to hold the cape up, get a picture with it, I ended up photoshopping my face on his body.
There you go.
And it all worked out. But yeah, it's going to be a good year, and I'm pumped. And yeah, I appreciate you guys having me out here for this hunt.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming out.
One more question before we wrap this up. Bucket list hunts. I always ask this to my guests. Where, what species, and what weapon? Sam, you're up.
Well, I attempted my bucket list hunt last year and was unsuccessful, so I need revenge on that one. That's an Alaskan moose hunt. So how we did it last year, and I want to do it exactly the same, but just with a different result. Just chartered a bush plane, only I wanted to fly in myself because I have a pilot's license too. But dropped me and my dad off and a family friend with a raft and floated 140 miles.
Oh, my gosh.
Just DIY and trying to call in moose. Just didn't call in one that was legally big enough. So it was a hell of an adventure, and I want to do that again and actually be successful. So that's my dream.
I need to sit down. I've got sweatpants on, and you started talking about that. I'm getting excited. Yeah, that's the dream hunt right there.
Yeah, that, you kind of stole my thunder on that one. I also would love to go up. I was just in Alaska fishing last month, and I think going back up there, I'd love to go chase some caribou up there too with a bow. Would be pretty fun getting a big migration event, and sounds like a pretty good time, you know, just getting way back there. Alaska's like, I mean, I don't know who doesn't have it on their bucket list, because it's a pretty incredible place. So
yeah, I feel like the archery moose hunt in Alaska is number one for the majority of the people that hop on the podcast.
Yeah.
I get New Zealand red stag quite a bit.
Yeah.
But by and large, it's moose.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I've always done rifle hunting for elk and mule deer out at our property in Oregon, but really starting to get more into it, really want to get into bow hunting. And, just doing it more and often with my dad. And, you know, we're both gonna kind of get bows and gonna try our luck at that. But bull elk with a bow, I think, would be pretty sweet for me.
Yeah,
that'd be sweet.
It's the best. Yeah.
I keep hearing it. It's moose with a bow.
Yeah,
moose or grizzly. I'm always back and forth, but I think I typically settle on moose because moose meat is so good. I mean, fresh moose. Like when my buddy killed his, we cut up the heart and the tongue that night, fried it up, had tenderloins, excuse me, the next night, and it was some of the best meat I've ever eaten.
Yeah.
And so to think
moose is the best.
And they're way bigger in Alaska too, you get so much more meat. Giant.
Yeah. So yeah, like for a reference, they're the minimum spread for a non-resident, they have to be 50 inches wide.
Jeez.
For reference, I had a buddy shoot a 49-inch moose in Colorado last year, and it was Boone and Crockett, just because the different species. So a Boone and Crockett, Colorado, Wyoming, lower 48 type moose, isn't even legal to shoot in Alaska.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And their bodies are just giant. I talked to a guy. He said he shot a huge one up there this year, and they had to cut the hind quarter into thirds just to get it out. It's like, they're just – they don't even look real up there.
It's just stupid. Well, I see the videos of people posting, just driving down the road and a moose is walking, and I'm like, that's not a moose. Like, I've seen moose. Yeah. They're not that big.
Yeah.
But, up there, they just grow to different levels.
Yeah.
And then the terrain. I mean, that's always one thing that I enjoy is going to different locations and hunting. And so it's like if I hunt the same species. When I came out here and waterfowl hunted when we lived here, I'm like looking at the Rocky Mountains shooting birds. I'm like, this beats the shit out of anything I hunt back. Yeah. You know, I see some trees and a lake maybe where I hunt back there. But, seeing the Rockies and then you multiply that by 1,000 and you're in the middle of nowhere, Alaska.
Yeah.
So, the raft in or the fly in, float out, moose hunt. And people don't realize how cheap tags are. I mean, in comparison, you draw a moose tag here and it's $2,400 for a non-resident.
Yeah.
The Alaskan moose tags are like, what, $1,000 or $1,200?
800, I think.
800. Oh, my gosh.
So I think all in for flying there, my tags, raft, rental, all the other, like all the other crap is under $4,000 all in, which by the time you buy preference points for 30 years to draw and then pay the out of state to then shoot a smaller moose, that's how I justified it to myself.
I tell my wife that all the time. I'm like, by the time I actually draw, I'm going to be $3,000 deep in preference points. Cause they bumped that up for non-residents to 100 a piece.
Yeah.
And so like right now for mountain goat, bighorn and moose, it's $300 just for those. And then, you pay $2,400. So now I'm at $5,400. I got to travel out here. I'm just going to Alaska. Right. I mean, don't get me wrong. I still put in for moose here because I'd shoot moose in any state they let me, but Alaska is the way to go.
Yeah.
So, well, I appreciate you guys hopping on.
Thank you.
This was a good hunt. Hopefully we can do more of them in the future. And I will say, if you guys get properties in Alaska, just don't post them, and we can just keep that our secret,
call,
and we'll get all the access to it.
I do actually have a guy that's wants to post on there, so we'll have to talk offline.
Yeah,
get the first one in there, right over by Steve Ranello's place in Alaska. So,
my buddy sent me a listing. It was a fish shack like that in southeast Alaska, and he's like, "Dude, you should buy this." And I'm like, "Who do you think I am, man? Like, dude, I'm nobody. Like, I can't just buy an Alaskan property. Trust me, I would have already done it."
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Yeah, that'd be sweet, man.
Maybe plan that. Maybe do the next podcast from up there.
Oh, dude. Yep. I got to sit farther down now. Well, sweet. Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Let's get after it again.
Cool. Awesome. Right.
And that is going to wrap it up for today's show. What did I tell you? I mean, this app kind of covers everything, and it's such a cool tool, especially if you're just on vacation with your family and you want to step away for a day and you're like, hey, I feel like going out and pheasant hunting or waterfowl hunting or rabbit hunting or coyote or whatever. You can look it up, the area that you're in, find out who's got property that's available for that day, pay a one-day use fee, and get out there and hunt. And I just think this could really change how people travel, how people view traveling and hunting, and I'm excited to use it again in the future, hopefully next fall on a big game hunt or two. I know this winter and spring are pretty booked for me so far, but actually, maybe next spring I can get on a turkey hunt with these guys. But All that to say, I hope you guys really do take this app, put it to use, find the properties close to home or while you're on the road and take full advantage of it. So hopefully you guys are getting out there, finding success this season. I know rifle seasons are kicking off and have kicked off in a lot of places, but are continuing, especially in whitetail states. I feel like they're really just now starting. And so get out there, guys. Get after it. Pretty soon season's going to be over and you're going to wish you had taken every opportunity you could. But until next time, always choose adventure and God bless.